John chapter 13, verse 1, right down to verse 17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So, after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Today we're moving to John chapter 13. We're moving into a whole new section of this Gospel of John. We're now entering into the subtleties of Jesus' arrest. We'll be focusing very much today on Judas the traitor. And to this day, that name carries along with it such a stink of reproach that to be called a Judas is a very derogatory thing. This man did such a backstabbing denial of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that today that you will stay tuned right through the program as we turn to the pulpit ministry of our church to learn of Judas betraying the Lord Jesus. On the night when the Lord Jesus gave the greatest demonstration of Christian service and unity ever given, when he took a towel, basin of water, and washed the disciples' feet. Now there is a great example for us. There is humility. There is servitude. There is a self-denial that everyone who calls him herself a disciple of the Lord Jesus should be following. I wonder, are you serving brothers and sisters in Christ, or are you living a selfish Christian life? That's a very big question, and may the Lord minister to your heart through his word from our pulpit ministry today.
In the chapter 13, right through to 17, we come to a complete new focus in this book. The public ministry of the Lord is very much over. We saw that at the end of chapter 12, and we noted how the Lord was addressing mainly the people of the city of Jerusalem, and he was wrapping up, he was summarizing so much of his ministry on earth. Well, here in chapter 13, there is a private audience with his disciples. And right through these next five chapters is a very unique window into that personal ministry of the Lord to his 12 disciples. And you have things recorded here that are not recorded in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. They are unique to this Gospel of John. And these, therefore, are five very powerful chapters in the Bible, and there is teaching here that is not only unique, but it is personal, and it's applicable. And I would say that in the history of the Lord's church, these chapters have revolutionized many lives, especially when you think of the Lord Jesus teaching, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." And it was chapters like that that changed the whole life of men like Hudson Taylor and others who were totally sold out to the service of God. And so my prayer as we move into this new section is that every one of us will find a much deeper relationship with our Lord Jesus as we learn of how the Lord treated personally these 12 disciples. Now, verse 1 sets the tone, and it shows how the Lord loved his disciples, and he loved them to the end. This is a remarkable statement. Now, it says here that he knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own. Now, I want you to underline that. He loved his own. We could say his own sheep, his own elect people, those for whom he was now soon to die. And it's for his own that he now sets himself to minister. And we're told that he loves them right to the end. How valuable to be included in the list of the Lord's own to belong to Jesus. And of course, this is John's record of the ministry of the Savior to his disciples and to all who belong to the Lord Jesus. If these words do not thrill our hearts, I don't know what would. There is a great depth to this statement, and there is comfort to every child of God through the rigors of our Christian life and discipleship. Because these disciples were now facing some very trying times. The Lord would be arrested, he would be crucified, and then he would ascend to be with the Father, and the Lord would leave many promises with his disciples, and they must cling to these promises when they go out to preach the gospel in a very hostile world. Now, you'll note in verse 1 that this was the night of the Passover. But strangely, there's not a word about the Passover. The Passover is mentioned just as a time marker. It is to help us to see how these things fit in. But there's no detail given whatsoever about how the Lord administered it, what symbols were used, how they administered to one another in this event. Not like Matthew, Mark, Luke, Mark and Luke, but John, he passes by this signal event. And of course, we wonder why. Why would John leave out the details of this night in which the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper? The answer is we don't really know. J.C. Ryle has suggested that the Lord may have done so, or John may have done so, to teach us that communion is not the all-in-all of the Christian life, that the Christian life cannot be reduced to mere ceremonies, that the Christian life is really a relationship between the Lord's people and Christ himself, his own, that very personal love that flows out of the heart of the Savior into the hearts of his own people. Now, laying aside the communion service with the 12, the Lord went on to demonstrate something very dramatic with his own, his 12 disciples, and that is to wash their feet. Now, there's something very amazing, something that has a shock factor to it. I don't think any one of these disciples expected this, that the Lord would actually take a basin of water, an apron, and begin to wash their feet one by one. But it is a demonstration of the Lord's personal love for his own disciples. He says that he loved them, he loves them to the end, and now in this personal way, he demonstrates that love. Now, of course, his death on the cross would be the ultimate demonstration of his love. But here on this night, is he would impress upon his disciples, not just by words, and certainly not empty words, but that as he would press upon his disciples the claims of his love upon their hearts, he takes that towel, that water, and begins to wash their feet, to burn into their hearts the truth that he will love them to the end. He will love them to the end of life's journey. Whatever path they have to take, whatever trials and troubles they face, the Lord will love them right to the end. He will love them to the end of their service. These are the men that are now going to become the apostles who will turn the world upside down and be the mission to evangelize the world. And the Lord will love them all the way in the mission of their work. He will also love them to the end of the world. His love will never fail. And on that great day when the trumpet sounds, he will raise up his own and he will love them to the very end. And so this act of foot washing is a demonstration of the Savior's love for his own. Now, I've got a few things to say about this. And the first thing is that it's a demonstration by his amazing humility. Amazing humility. This was the work of a gracious host. It was commonly practiced in these times that visitors to an event or guests to a home would have a basin of water provided, a towel provided, where guests may wash their feet. And sometimes they may do it themselves, or the guests may wash one another's feet. But for the host to actually stoop down and to wash the feet of his guests, that would be outstanding humility. Now, if you look at verse 2, you'll notice that there is a great emphasis upon this act. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, think of how events are unfolding in a timeline here. This is the last week. This is the Passover night. The feast is on. And it was during that communion, that institution of communion, that Satan's suggestion comes into the heart of Judas. And at that moment, Jesus being fully aware of it, it says, Jesus knowing, verse 3, that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Here is the Lord in the midst of this, and he has all the Father's authority, all the Father's welfare in his mind. And yet, at that point, he rises from the supper and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. This is exceeding and outstanding humility. And the Lord sees this last opportunity, these precious fleeting moments with his own disciples, to burn into their hearts a picture of his own abiding, unfailing love for them. And this is an example of tremendous humility. Why? And as Bible students, that's the question we always ask. You never stop asking why. Why? Why did the Lord do that? Why did the Lord say that? Well, he was putting into action what he stated in words. He said that he loved his own and loved them to the end. Now he's letting that be seen. And it is really true that the Lord loves his own to the end. These are not empty words. Let no man fear of trusting in the Savior's love. And there's always a battle for that. And there's always the question mark. Can you really trust this man, Jesus? Can you really put your full hope in his promises? Or are they just empty words? Here these disciples were learning that they could rest in the unfailing love of Jesus, the Son of God. Now, we truly have a great Savior for sinners. Those who are his own are mightily privileged and blessed, and they will find a place in the loving heart of the Savior. And every professing Christian can take hope in that. That ought to comfort your heart. Whatever you may be facing in this old world of trouble, just to know that Jesus' love is a constant, unfailing, undiminished love. He loves to the very end. Now, in answering the question why did Jesus do this? I have to take you now to verse 15. And Jesus said to his own disciples, "For I have given you an example." So it's a display of his humility, but it's also an example to these disciples who are going to be left behind, who are going to be depending upon one another, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So, our Christianity, unlike every other religion in the world, is to be known by humility in the heart of each believer. If someone says, I'm a Christian, there ought to be some of the leaven of humility in that person's life. We are willing to deny ourselves, to stoop, to minister to the needs of our fellow believers. This is like the 11th commandment, where the Lord says later in this same night, in these five chapters of personal interview, and he says to his disciples, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And so the Lord is laying on a very clear demonstration and giving an example of how Christians ought to behave to one another by sacrificial, self-denying service to our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus. Now, do we take this literally and practice foot washing literally? Where's the basin? I don't see the basin today. Has anyone got the water ready? Are we going to have a foot washing in our church services? What we find in the New Testament, that this was never repeated literally. In any of the epistles, any of the church letters that were written, there was never an appeal or a command to wash one another's feet. And this is not literal, but rather the spirit of it, the intent, the attitude of the Christian, is that we should be ready to do the lowest, most menial, and self-deprecating act, that we might have an opportunity to display our love and our interest in fellow believers. The closest thing that I find in the rest of the New Testament are in the words of Peter in 1 Peter 5:5, where he commands the Christians, be clothed in humility. Now, again, that's not literal, because you're not wrapping garments around yourself. But when Peter says, be clothed with humility, he says, let that become part and parcel of your Christian life. Let that be constantly displayed in your Christian life. On this, J.C. Ryle wrote these words, and I want to quote them because they get to the heart of the matter. And while we do not take this foot washing literally, that we should wash one another's feet with actual water, yet there is a message here. And J.C. Ryle says, our Lord would have us love each other so much that we should delight to do anything which can promote their happiness. We ought to rejoice in doing kindnesses, even in little things. We ought to count it a pleasure to lessen sorrow and multiply joy, even when it costs us some self-sacrifice and self-denial. And this is the mind of the Master. This is the call of our Christian discipleship. And it's as real in the 21st century as in the first century. We are to be known in our deeds of kindness and our acts of self-denying service one to another. And this humility reaches all levels of Christianity. Boys and girls, you can do this. The oldest Christian can do this. The busy Christian can still do this. Housewives can do this. Business people can do this. This is a marker of every professing Christian, that we are, to put it in the term of this setting, foot washers, willing to serve one another. Why did Jesus do this? To show his own humility and to be an example to us. The question is, will we follow in his footsteps? Will we live that kind of Christian life? Or will we insist, no, I'm a prince, I'm a king, others must serve me? That's not Christianity. That's not the fruit of the gospel.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, British Columbia. And I hope that today the Lord has been ministering to your heart. Let me just recite that verse again, 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Sadly, this humility and this meekness that, when displayed today, it's often interpreted as weakness. And even in the ranks of the Christian church, so many are looked upon as feeble-minded if they practice the humility that was in the Lord Jesus and was the mark of Christians in the early church. And so, rather than displaying our own prowess, our own knowledge, and pushing our own agenda, every Christian is called upon to practice self-denial, in the Church of the Lord Jesus. And that becomes one of the very first priorities of the child of God. Am I doing this out of self-denial or out of selfishness? And that very often will sort out the truth from error, and it will direct you in the right path. If you are doing something out of self-denial to serve and to strengthen the body of Christ, then, of course, you are on the right path. Now, for all of that, we need great grace. And in these days of this pandemic, when churches are either restricted in numbers or are unable to meet in person, it takes a lot of self-denial. And sometimes God's people can get into a frenzy and they will fly their flag and say, I want to show my loyalty to God. I want to show that I am a Reformation bold Christian. Well, let's do that. Let's do that over the essential doctrines of the gospel. Let's stand up for Christ. Let's be men and women of prayer. Let's be bold when it comes to telling the world of their need of the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to harming our fellow believers, when it comes to the plague or the pestilence that is around today, we need to realize we're playing with fire. And that was Martin Luther's perspective, that if anyone played with fire to cause damage, then you would certainly say they were doing great harm. And likewise, in these times with this pandemic, we realize that if we are guilty of spreading this virus, then we do great harm even to our fellow brothers and believers in the Lord Jesus. So let us be wise and let us practice this humility, this self-denial that is demonstrated in the life of the Lord Jesus by the apostles and by the early church. And let the love of Jesus truly fill our hearts so that we love one another. And by this means shall all men know that we are his disciples. And so I trust God will bless you and encourage you today. Thank you for being a part of our program. Stay tuned for these closing announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.